Canto 6, chapter 10, text 1 to 4. Text 4 is written on the board. So first I'll read text 1 to 3 myself, then we'll recite text 4 together. Text 1. Sri Bhadurayuni Rubacho Indramebam Samadisho Bhagavan Vishvabhavanaha Pashyatam Animeshenam Tatraivantar Dadehari. Translation. Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, after instructing Indra in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, the cause of the cosmic manifestation, then and there disappeared from the presence of the onlooking demigods. Text 2. Tatha bhiya chito, tatha bhiya chito devair rishir atharvano mahan mudamano uvachedam prahasanniva bharata. O King Parikshit, following the Lord's instructions, the demigods approached Dadhichi, the son of Atharva. He was very liberal, and when they begged him to give them his body, he at once partially agreed. However, just to hear religious instructions from them, he smiled and jokingly spoke as follows. Text 3. Api brindaraka juyam na janitho sharirinam sangsthayam jastu avidraho dushahas chatanapaha. O elevated demigods, at the time of death, severe, unbearable pain takes away the consciousness of all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Don't you know about this pain? Text 4, which is written on the board, please repeat after me. Jiji Vishunang Jivanam Atma Prishtha Ihepsitaha Ihepsitaha Ka Utsaheta Tang Datum Bhikshamanaya Vishnave Jiji Vishunang Jivanam Atma Presto Ihepsitaha Ko Utsaheta Tang Datum Bhikshamanaya Vishnave Jiji Vishunang Jivanam Atma Presto Ihepsitaha Ko Utsaheta Tang Datum Bhikshamanaya Vishnave Jiji Vishunang Jivanam Atma Presto Ihepsitaha Ko Utsaheta Tang Datum Bhikshamanaya Vishnave Jiji Vishunang Jivanam Atma Presto Ihepsitaha Ko Utsaheta Tang Datum Bhikshamanaya Vishnave. Please repeat. Jiji Vishunam Jivanam Atma Presto Ihepsitaha উৎসাহেত তং দাতু ভিক্ষমানায় বিষ্ণুবে। মাতাজি, হম জীবানম আত্মপ্রেষ্ট ইহেপ্সিতঃ কো উৎসহেত তং দাতুং ভিক্ষমানায় বিষ্ণবে। ওয়ার্ড মিনিং জিজিবি সুনাং, aspiring to remain alive, jivanam, of all living entities, atma, the body, prashtaha, very dear, iho, here, ipsitaha, desired, kah, who, utsaheta, can bear, tam, that body, datum, to deliver, bhikshamanaya, begging, Vishnave, even to Lord Vishnu. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. In this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to his material body. Struggling to keep his body forever, everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? Please repeat after me. In this material world, every living entity is very much addicted to his material body. Struggling to keep his body forever, everyone tries to protect it by all means, even at the sacrifice of all his possessions. Therefore, who would be prepared to deliver his body to anyone, even if it were demanded by Lord Vishnu? Purport. It is said, Atmanam sarvato rakshet tato dhanam tato Atmano sarvato rakshet tato dharmam tato dhanam. One must protect his body by all means. Then he may protect his religious principles and thereafter his possessions. This is the natural desire of all living entities. No one wants to give up his body unless it is forcibly given away. Even though the demigods said that they were demanding Dadhichi's body for their benefit in accordance with the order of Lord Vishnu, Dadhichi superficially refused to give them his body. So in the previous chapter you have heard that when Dhritarashtra was born by seeing his ferocious figure, the demigods became very much afraid and they attacked Dhritarashtra, but Dhritarashtra was swallowing all the weapons. The demigods are releasing many, you know, different kinds of weapons, but Dhritarashtra, he was swallowing them up, you know. All weapons were swallowed by Dhritarashtra. So then the demigods realized that this is not an ordinary person. It will be difficult to defeat him. So as the demigods headed by Indra, they are naturally devotee of Lord. So they started to pray for Lord Vishnu. So Vishnu naturally is inclined to support the demigods. So then, being pleased with their prayer, Vishnu appeared in front of the demigods. Then Vishnu instructed them. In a very brief, he gave some very valuable instructions. But finally he told, if you want to defeat this Vritrasura, you go to, says Dadhichi, Dadhichi Muni, and beg for his body, and when he will leave his body, you can take his bones, and with that bone, you can kill Vritrasura. So this was the instruction given by Lord Vishnu himself. So Vishnu knows everything, what will be good for Dadhichi, what will be good for the demigods, what will be good for Vritrasura. So Vishnu knows everything. So Vishnu gave perfect instruction. So then the demigods, from this chapter, today new chapter is beginning, and then the chapter entitled Battle Between the Demigods and Vritrasura. So then demigods, being instructed by Vishnu to collect the body and bones, actually they asked body for taking the bones of Dadhichi. Dadhichi was so powerful, says, he performed so much austerity, then his bone also, the bones, which is practically speaking material things, became very much powerful. In Ayurveda, we come to know, in Ayurveda it is described, that whatever we eat, the food grains, that turns into some rasa, and from rasa gradually turns into blood, and from blood different dhatus are created, and slowly inside bone it creates uja. Uja is very powerful dhatu, powerful element of human body. Those who maintain celibacy very strictly and perform perfect, austerity, they can attain this ujo, which is very, 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 very powerful, beyond our imagination. So Dadhichi performed some kind of austerity, and his austerity was so perfect that his bones became very, very powerful. So much so that Vishnu instructed that if you can get the bone from Dadhichi, with that bone you can make some thunderbolt, vajra, and Indra can kill, demigods headed by Indra can kill Vritrasura with the help of Dadhichi's bone. So then they requested Dadhichi. So we are instructed by Lord Vishnu that for defeating the demons, especially to kill Vritrasura, Vishnu asked us to request you to give your bones. That means you have to give up your body. So Dadhichi, when he heard that Lord Vishnu ordered, he understood his order must be perfect, because Vishnu's order must be perfect. But still, here in the sloka it is said, jokingly, sometimes the devotee, to know some deeper truth, they sometimes can make some jokes to find out some deeper truth. So Dadhichi, jokingly, he refused in the beginning. He refused that giving up one's own body, which is very, very, dear to everyone. Even though we are performing our devotional service, trying to perform devotional service, but still, the addiction to our body is very difficult to give up. And those who are not serving, those who are not engaged in devotional service, for them giving up this body is really, for them they think body is my soul, body is myself. Devotee knows that I am separate from this body. So those devotees who are very much trained throughout their whole life that I am not this body, some or other they can adjust according to the degree of their development in Krishna consciousness. But those who are in ignorance, they don't have any idea of soul, they think body is myself, my identity is my body. They take so much care of this body. They are so much addicted to this body that it is very difficult for them to think of giving it up. Sometimes we read in newspaper that one cinema artist, just to put some hair, she had in some portion of her head there was less hair. So put some hair, she spent like crores of rupees, just to put some hairs. There was another film artist when I was a college student. He was hospitalized and he asked the doctors. He was one of the most famous film artist in Bengal. So he asked the doctor that whatever money you want, 10 crores, 20 crores, no problem. I'll give you, but you save my life. But even though he promised so much money, but doctor could not save his life. After 1 week, he died. So anyway, so people love their body so much, they are ready to spend crores of rupees just to protect some hair, which is practically speaking completely useless. So Dodichi, in a sense, from the angle of materialistic person, from the angle of materialistic person's of view, Dodichi's statement is correct. People like their body so much. So he said, even though Vishnu asked, but still I cannot give up this body. So later on, the demigods, especially Indra, the king of demigods, he explained that, you know, for the benefit of others, it is good to give, you know, your body. And especially it is ordered by Vishnu. So in this way, Indra was trying to convince Dodichi. Dodichi was already convinced because he knows the order came from Vishnu and he is a devotee of Vishnu. So he was ready to give up his body. So this narration of Britrasura and the battle between Britrasura and demigods is very, very important in Srimad Bhagavatam. Practically speaking, in whole Srimad Bhagavatam, this narration of Britrasura, this incident of Britrasura, is one of the most important incident because it is one of the identifying symptom of Srimad Bhagavatam. In other Puranas, the name of Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned. In other Puranas also, the name of Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned. So they gave the identifying symptom of Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like when we make our identity card, sometimes they give some identifying symptoms. Somebody has some moles here, somebody has some, you know, scar here, you know. So they give some identifying symptom, you know, how to identify that person. So maybe he has some black spot here, just like His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj has a spot here. So it is like identifying symptom. You can identify very quickly that, you know, his identity of a person can be known by this symptom. So, what is the identifying symptom of Bhagavatam? In different Puranas, the sages, Vyasamuni has presented, in different Puranas, the description of Srimad Bhagavatam in brief. And he told, Bhagavatam is that Purana where the narration of Britrasura is there. The narration of Britrasura is spoken in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many narrations of Ajamila, narrations of this, you know, narration of that. But it is clearly written that Bhagavatam is that Purana where the story of Britrasura or the history of Britrasura is narrated. So that means it has some very, very special significance, the story of the history of Britrasura. Otherwise, why it is mentioned, specifically mentioned as identifying symptom of Bhagavatam. We know Bhagavatam because Bhagavatam is famous because here is the story, the history of Britrasura. So that is actually, if you read the whole story from beginning to end, then it is really very, very interesting and very, very instructive. Indra, he is the best example of Sakama Bhakta. Indra is also devotee and Britrasura is also devotee. But Indra is the best example of Sakama Bhakta, a devotee who desires materialistic prosperity. That is Indra. And Britrasura, who was originally Chitraketu, He also in the beginning had some material desire. That's why when he met Narad Muni, he asked for a son. Please give me a son. He had many, you know, hundreds and thousands of wives, but he had no son. So then Narad Muni blessed him and he got a son. And that son died. By the will of providence, that son died. And when that son died, then again Narad Muni met him. Then, you know, the arrangement was done in such a way that Chitraketu became pure devotee. He understood that it is futile to run after all these materialistic, you know, prosperity, materialistic position in the form of money, wealth, land, son, wives. He had, practically speaking, everything, hundreds and thousands of wives. He was the king, so much land he had. He has unlimited gold and everything. He was materially completely, you know, his life was completely successful, materialistically speaking. But when he lost his son, then with the instruction of Narad Muni, by the arrangement of, you know, Narad Muni, he realized that these materialistic possessions is useless. Then slowly, slowly, you know, he became pure devotee. Chitraketu became pure devotee. Then he committed unwanted offense, unplanned, you know. Suddenly he committed some offense to Lord Shiva and he was cursed by Parvati. And he was quite able to counteract that curse, but he did not counteract. It is another nature of devotee. They don't counteract. We have seen in the life of Parikshit Maharaj, he was cursed by that Brahmin boy, small boy. Parikshit Maharaj had power to counteract that curse, but he did not counteract. Similarly, Chitraketu, he had the power to counteract that curse, or at least counter curse, but he did not curse Parvati. He tolerated, he thought it is my karma. Tatte anukampa shushamikshamano. He thought it is your mercy, my Lord. So he became, according to the curse of Parvati, he became a demon. But even though he was in the body of a demon, he was a completely pure devotee. Completely pure devotee, nishkama bhakta. He did not have any material desire. So in one side, Indra, he was in a, you know, externally he was in a better position. He was king of heaven and he was, you know, enjoying the heavenly facilities. And the demigods are supposed to be better than demons. Even devotionally, they are supposed to be better than demons. But here we see a difference, a contrast. Here we see that even Indra, the king of heaven, he is actually, devotionally speaking, he is in a lower status than Vritrasura. Vritrasura, having the body of a demon, he is much more better devotee than Indra. What Indra is doing, what Indra is struggling for, he is struggling for some materialistic gain. And for materialistic gain, he committed so many mistakes, one after another. He killed Vishwarupa, who was a Brahmin, because Vishwarupa was, you know, secretly he was supporting the demons. So Indra became angry and he became fearful, which is symptom of, you know, generally symptom of non-devotee. So Indra suddenly, you know, he killed Vishwarupa. Of course, because he was really devotee, he repented and he suffered the sinful reaction of killing a Brahmin for 1 year. Then he made some contract with land, trees and different, you know, women. He made some contract and he distributed his sin to four different, you know, groups of persons. So in this way, Indra, he was relieved of his sin, but as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained, still the sin is so deep-rooted, it cannot be completely cleansed so easily. Even though Indra, he suffered the sinful reaction for 1 year, he repented for 1 year, and he distributed his sins, he shared his sins with four groups of people, still his sinful reaction was still there in subtle form within his heart. and that's why it instigated him to kill another Brahmin, that is Vritrasura. Vritrasura was also Brahmin, you know, Brahmin by qualification. Because he was a pure devotee, automatically the Brahminical qualification was there in the personality of Vritrasura. So in this way we see Indra, he is committing mistake one after another. If you read the whole life story of Indra, Indra committed so many mistakes, so many mistakes. He wanted to enjoy with the wife of Gautam Muni. And later on, you know, when Gautam Muni discovered, Gautam Muni cursed him, and his whole body was, you know, covered with, you know, private parts. And then when he asked forgiveness, then Gautam Muni told, okay, these, you know, these ugly parts will turn into beautiful eyes. So Indra has 1,000 eyes throughout his body, which actually became another benediction. So anyway, in upper level, you know, life is different. In upper, you know, upper planets, even though they commit so many mistakes, but Lord Vishnu, he forgives them more easily, because they are very, very qualified, and, you know, the level is little higher, you know. If you commit similar mistakes here, it will be more punishable. But in a heavenly planet, sometimes you read, even Brihaspati, the guru, you know, he's the guru of the demigods, guru of Indra and guru of all the demigods. He once had illicit affair with the wife of Moon, the demigod of Moon. But he was not, I mean, still he remains as guru, a guru of demigods. So it may be little, we may ask question, you know, why, you know, they are committing so many sinful activities still. We don't see they are much blamed. Rather, sometimes we see, you know, they are in their original position. Sometimes even they get, you know, just like Indra got some benediction in the form of 1,000 eyes. He got 1,000 eyes all over his body, which was actually, for him it was a benediction. So why it is like that? The answer is that because the level is upper. This is the very simple answer. The same lusty desires, when you see that, you know, among the animals, the lusty desires is really abominable. But when it comes to the human level, the married couples, you know, husband and wife, they lead, you know, life following varnashrama system. It is much more respectable than animals. And if you go to upper level, to the level of demigods, the same sex life is much more respectable. Then when you go more upper, janaloka, maharloka, the sex life becomes more and more respectable. Then you go to Vaikuntha, it is completely respectable. Then you go to Golok, it is so much respectable that it is the highest thing to worship, highest worshipable object. The love between Radha and Krishna, the love between gopis and Krishna, this is the highest object of worship. So in this way, in upper level, the judgment has to be done, you know, according to the level. From human level, it is not possible to understand the upper level. So anyway, time is almost over. So Indra, he was struggling for materialistic benefit, and he was asking the bones from Dadhichi for his selfish benefit. And by that bones, what he'll do? He'll kill Vritrasura, a Brahmin, which is another sin. And in this way, what he'll enjoy? He'll enjoy heaven, which is another, you know, it is materialistic enjoyment. It is not spiritual enjoyment. So Indra's, you know, method of work and Indra's object is practically materialistic. But because he is devotee, Sakama Bhakta, Krishna is fulfilling his all materialistic desires. His body is so, I mean, perfect, materialistically speaking. When Airavata was hurt by Vritrasura, he just touched Airavata with his finger, and from his finger, ambrosia was transmitting from Indra's body to Airavata's body, and Airavata again became, you know, he again became powerful, you know. So such is the body of Indra, materialistically speaking. and his body is meant for materialistic enjoyment. But because he is devotee of Lord Krishna, he is devotee of Vishnu, Vishnu is fulfilling his desires. But we see from the life story of Indra how his life is, many times he is committing mistakes, offenses, and he is suffering the reaction. And the attainment is materialistic. He is trying to enjoy heaven. But Krishna is fulfilling. Vishnu is fulfilling. But Vritrasura, on the other hand, even though he is in the life of in the body of a demon, he is practically speaking a pure devotee. If you read this prayer by Vritrasura, at the end of this chapter, there is a very nice prayer. He prayed to Lord Vishnu. He knows my death is imminent. Any moment Indra will release the thunderbolt and I will die. He knows. So at the moment of death, he started to pray. Indra was surprised hearing his prayer. And he was surprised that even this demon, in the body of a demon, how he became such a nice devotee, perfect devotee. His prayer was completely, nishkama prayer, without any materialistic desires. In the first time he told that, I should be attracted to you, let my mind be attracted to you, just like the birdlings, small baby birds, they cry for their mother. But then he realized that, this crying is also with some materialistic desires that mother will provide me food. Then he started, let me surrender unto your lotus feet, just like with the same hankering that a calf cries for his mother's milk when he is hungry, when it is hungry. Then he realized, here also the hankering is not enough because he is hungry, he is crying for his mother's milk. So then he said, let my mind, be attracted to you as if a lady whose husband is living in a different country, whose beloved husband is living in a different country, and the chaste lady is crying for that husband, so let my mind be attracted to you like that. This type of prayer is there. So from this prayer we can understand that Vritrasura was a pure devotee. So the lesson is that even though we are in a, materialistically speaking, in whatever condition we are, devotional service is never destroyed. Vritrasura in the previous life, he did devotional service at Chitraketu. And then in next life, even though due to some circumstances he got the body of a demon, but devotion remained intact. So this is a very important conclusion to maintain our hope that in whatever condition we are, let us try to maintain our devotional life, performing 9 types of devotional service. That will become our permanent asset. Even if we go to hell, even if we go to, Asura Loka to become demon, still the devotion will remain intact. So I like to stop here. If you have any question or comment or correction, please, you can say something. Anything?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for the very nice class. I wanted to say about some examples I have seen. Prabhupada, like Jayapataka Maharaj, they have no attachment to their body at all. And we are talking about addiction to body. So there are some other cases also. I just want to know how it gradually happens. For me, I think I still have a lot of attachment to the body. So
I cannot hear the question properly. Can you?
Obstacle to performing devotional service.
how to get rid of addiction to body. The way is medicine is same. The medicine is same. If you go to a good doctor, he will never change the medicine. If you go to a bad doctor, he will change the medicine. Is it not? So medicine is same, 9 types of devotional service. Nabhavida bhakti, 9 types of devotional service. Hearing, chanting. No, if we follow, especially hearing and chanting, if we follow this devotional service purely, without any offense, then slowly our addiction to body will, vanish. It is written in this chapter that when Dodichi left his body, he even did not understand how I left this body. Although he was telling that it is very painful to give up body, but when he himself left the body, he did not realize, he did not feel any pain. He was unaware that he is leaving his body. So, if you can devotionally become so matured that you will be unaware when you are leaving your body. So that's why pure devotees, they are not afraid to give up their body, They don't feel, anything, Because this is the maturity, test of maturity. The more we feel pain while giving up body, that means our devotional life is immatured. The pain may be there, but you will not feel. You will not feel. This is the maturity, the standard of maturity in devotional life. Just like Parikshit Maharaj, the snake came and snake, started vomiting fire. Parikshit Maharaj was smiling, He left his body smilingly. So this is the standard of maturity in devotional life. Okay, so the more we become pure devotee, the lesser we'll be disturbed by all these material problems, material pains, janma mritya jara vyadhi. Okay? So, if there is no other comment or... Okay, Mataji.
Brahaspati didn't commit that mistake. It is Moon God who had taken the wife of Brahaspati.
No, in Mahabharata I was reading very recently that Brihaspati also had similar mistakes. Very recently I read. The Moon God also, they are all, all the demigods are like this. They are doing like this. But still it is more respectable than human level because the standard is like that, But it is very difficult from our level to understand how it is more respectable. But they are on more respectable level, even though apparently from human level looks like they are very ordinary, they are engaged in very, very abominable work. But from their level, it is not so abominable because it is a question of level. Okay? Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Question, although Indra made a big offense and he did a lot of austerities, but you said that still in his heart is something was there. How can I so?
Because he is not a pure devotee. Indra is not pure devotee. In some class I heard that if Indra and Srila Prabhupada met together, Indra will touch the feet of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, Srila Prabhupada is superior to Indra. In that sense, because Prabhupada is pure devotee. So Indra is Sakam Bhakta. He has lot of, materialistic desires. He is not pure devotee. So without pure devotion, it is not possible to get rid of all kinds of, sinful proclivity. It is not so easy. It is only possible by pure devotion that one can get rid of kutang, papang. There is a verse that all types of sinful proclivity can be vanished simply by engaging in pure devotional service. But because Indra was not in that level and he had some materialistic desire, that's why he again killed another Brahmin, Vitrasura. Okay? Thank you. So I can stop here. Granthras Srimad Bhagavatam ki Samavata Vaishnav Bhakta Vrinda ki Nitai Gaur Pramanande Hari Hari Bhakta.